Hi, and thank you so much for joining us at Tycor Title Tuesdays at 2. I'm your host, Ryan Pulliam. Well, getting information to you is something we've been holding very important over the last few weeks. Getting good quality information out there, I think, is going to be one of the most important things that we can do as a company, and then in turn, what we can do for our clients. So this week, we kind of wanted to take a break from what Tycor is doing and take a look at the kind of the mortgage market as a whole. Now, at Tycor Title Company, we have the opportunity to work with some amazing lenders and loan officers throughout the valley. But one person I wanted to have on today, I've known for a long time. He's extremely humble and intelligent, and he doesn't have an agenda. So I just thought it would be a perfect person to kind of come on, explain a little bit what's happening in the mortgage market right now. And with that, I'm extremely excited to introduce Aaron Gordon, who is a branch manager for Guild Mortgage. So Aaron, thanks so much for joining us at Tycor Title Tuesdays at 2.
Hey, Ryan, I'm really happy to be here. And I don't know if I can live up to that intro, but that was really nice of you.
Well, you know, you're a nice dude, and I know that you'd much rather be at a Padres game than hanging out with me right now. But, you know, these are the times we live in, so that's how it is.
The worst day so far of this entire thing was Padres opening day.
Yeah. So, Aaron, you have a unique perspective because you actually have a branch down, or you run a team in San Diego and you have a team in Las Vegas. So that's another reason I kind of thought you'd have a unique perspective, because it's not just one area. You can kind of see how that is, what the changes are happening across state lines. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, man, we got to be here for each other. So how are you guys holding up, and what's going on down there?
You know, we're holding up, you know, we're just going through every day the best we can, and you know, our teams are doing well. You know, we're trying to keep it as normal as possible, and I think we've done a pretty good job of that. You know, our teams are meeting every day by video, and you know, the good thing for me, Ryan, is because I go between cities and markets, my team was used to doing a lot of video conferencing, so and meeting by team, and meeting customers by team by video. So this hasn't been as big of a transition for us as it has been for some, but we're helping others that are trying to transition to this kind of new normal for right now, and we're plugging away.
Awesome. We kind of talk a little bit about your history about going back and forth. How did you actually get into the mortgage and finance business?
My brother-in-law actually got me into the mortgage business many years ago. It was about 2000, 2001 in that area. And what's interesting, Ryan, is that what I've been doing a lot of and getting a lot of acknowledgement for lately is these email updates and Facebook posts and other types of updates I've been doing on the coronavirus as it relates to lending. And really, it's how I got my start and really how I became successful in mortgage, which was I taught myself the mortgage business off of the yellow and black book Mortgages for Dummies. Everybody sees that dummy series out there. And that's how I taught myself the business. And I was like a sponge of knowledge. As I would learn things about the mortgage business, I was so excited to learn new things that I would simply take all that information in, and then I would write it in very easy to digest form, and I would send that out to agents. And that's how I started my business, really marketing to agents, was being really descriptive on things going on. And it's funny because my boss, who's been my boss for many years, he said to me, Aaron, you're back to where your beginnings, which is taking in information, making it very easy to digest, very easy to chew, and then sending it back out so that everybody can kind of understand. So it's a horrific time for everybody, but that's been a positive for me and my business that I've been able to help people better understand what's going on.
Well, I think, you know, you talk about stopping the scroll on social media, you know, people just scrolling. Whenever I see a post from you, I always do stop. I mean, sometimes it's just, what do you like better, pancakes or waffles? But other times, it's really good update on what's happening in the mortgage market. And I don't have to have an advanced degree in macroeconomics or finance to really understand kind of what's going on. So I think that's a testament to you and what you do. So thanks so much for that, because you've helped me out as well.
Thanks. Well, first of all, which one do you like better, pancakes or waffles?
You know, I'm a waffle guy. I like that Christmas a little bit.
I'm a waffle guy too. But you know what? It's just so important today. I mean, you know, in the mortgage business, if you're an executive in the mortgage business, you're on daily conference calls. And you're hearing from people that are at a very high level. And they are explaining things that are very difficult to understand. And to try to and it's very important that real estate professionals and title professionals and escrow professionals and all the professionals in our business understand what's going on in mortgage. And if you just, and you, if you had to sit down on one of our conference calls, you know, you'd be snoring in the first 30 seconds and looking for a dictionary to try to figure out some of the lingo. And so it's really important that lenders today, you know, do what I'm doing. And that is just, you know, absorb the information, take it all in, understand how it's affecting you and your business, and then let your partners know. It's really important that our partners understand today the challenges of mortgage. And so I think it's really critical that everybody try to pay it forward in that regard.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with our audience. Now, you speak, you know, you talked a little bit about definitions and understand trying to run and grab a dictionary. One or two phrases that have been prevalent lately in our industry with government kind of saying, hey, there's a stay on evictions and there may be a stay on foreclosures. Two terms that are kind of thrown about are forbearance and deferment. Can you kind of explain which, what is what and what each one means?
So Ryan, let's just say that you lost your mind and you bet me $5,000 that UNLV was going to beat USC in football. Okay. Well, when I went to go collect the bet and you said to me, Aaron, I cannot pay you today. If I said, Ryan, I'm going to offer you a forbearance, that would mean that you're going to pay me back. And then I say, and you know what? I want 10% interest, Ryan. So when you pay me back my $5,000, I want $5,500. So that would be the forbearance. Now, if I said, let me defer that, I just say, hey, Ryan, when can you afford to pay me my $5,000? And then you just pay me my $5,000 back that day without any interest, without any penalty. So if you're going to call your loan company and you're asking for a payment deferment, you're asking that they collect your payment at a later date without adding anything to it. If it's a forbearance, you're probably going to pay a little bit of a premium, whether it's additional interest or payment or penalties or whatever it is, when you make that call. Now, when you make the call, a couple things to know there, Ryan, is that even though Fannie and Freddie have said you can miss up to 12 payments, FHA and VA have not said that. Okay. And so when you call your loan servicing company, and for everybody out there who has to start missing payments, do not miss a single payment without talking to your mortgage company, because it's not an automatic. Your mortgage company has to process this, okay? So, and when you call, don't expect for them just to offer you 12 payments, okay? Everybody's different. Every situation is different. So, you know, there's lengthy hold times. I mean, some of my friends have told me that they stayed on the phone with my company for 5 hours. They stayed on the phone with some big banks for 5 or 6 hours. You know, I wouldn't stay on the phone for 5 or 6 hours today. I would just know this. If you are trying to get a deferment or a forbearance on your April payment, which is due April 1st, okay, it's not a 30-day late until the end of April, right? Until April, till 30 days after April. So you don't have to be in a rush to call on April 1st. Let the dust settle a little bit. Maybe call on the 10th or 11th. But when you call, be prepared to stay on the phone for a while, because you're going to have to reach them. Now, almost every company today has some online tool or an email tool that you can use to request it as well. If your loan's at my company, you can email me and I'm happy to forward that over to you, or you can just go to the company website. If you go to company websites, generally today, you're going to see a big banner that says COVID-19. And you just click that and then it'll walk you through it. But just know that if you're going to ask for that type of thing, you're probably going to be offered 3 months to start and then some kind of repayment plan after the 3 months. And so now if it gets extended beyond that, I think everybody in America now understands that this wasn't your fault. This isn't the typical type of where you're asking for a payment plan because you're financially irresponsible. That's not the case. The government, the state, everybody's asked you to stay home. They've asked your employer to close their doors. So there's an understanding there that's way different than anything we've ever been through before. Right. So don't get angry, be patient, and just also have the right expectation. You're not just going to get a 12-month waiver right off the bat. So probably 3 months is what I'm hearing, with and then with extensions if needed.
Okay, gotcha. So now that everybody kind of understands what that is, that's for folks who may or who do have a mortgage right now, for the folks who might be, you know, thinking about buying, what has that done? Because obviously the biggest thing that lender wants to know is that can a borrower repay that mortgage? So has the inability to foreclose or anything else happening on that mortgage, has that kind of tightened credit markets at all? Or what are you seeing in the mortgage market?
100%, Ryan. I mean, so if you think about it, in the Great Depression, there was 10% unemployment. People are projecting that in this crisis, we're going to see 20 to 30% unemployment. That's 2 to 3 times the Great Depression. So as a result, mortgage lending has become very conservative, very restrictive, because it's not that none of us want to make a loan or the companies don't want to make loans. We want to make loans. But we also have to prove what Ryan just said, the ability to repay. There is nothing more central to the mortgage business today after the mortgage crisis than the ability to repay. So if there's any question about your ability to repay, it's going to be very difficult to close on a home loan. And so even people today that work for casinos or restaurants or bars or whatever, and they're temporarily closed and you're still collecting a paycheck, but the commitment is April 16th or April 30th or whatever the commitment is from your boss, it's going to be really challenging to close a home loan, because we're not just loaning you money for 2 weeks or 4 weeks. We're loaning you money for 30 years. And so we have a responsibility, as directed to us by those that buy the loans in the secondary loan market, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and those that insure the loans in Ginnie Mae, that we have vetted you to make sure you have the ability to repay, you know, for at least the next few years. So, so those types of things are putting a huge block in mortgage. They're making it really challenging in mortgage. Now, I wouldn't discourage people from buying a house.
Right.
I think that, I predicted this a couple of days ago. When you sit in your house in the type of confinement we're all in right now in quarantine, you start to notice what you don't love about your house. My house is too small. My house is too big. My walls, they're not painted the right color. I need new flooring. So everybody's kind of recognizing that at this stage of quarantine, and they may want to buy a new home. Kind of the cool thing, the best thing that the real estate business did was they added these COVID-19 addendums so that you can get out of your contract. When you go to buy a house, it's really difficult to get out of the contract. There's mm-hmm. certain dates that you have to meet. And once you go past those dates, it's really difficult. But based on COVID-19, they provided a lot of outs. So if you're on the fence about buying a house, I wouldn't discourage you from doing it, because there are enough outs there that if this thing turns worse, if you're saying to yourself, like, I want the dust to settle, I want to wait to see what happens here, okay? There are addendums protecting you today. So you may be able to go ahead and start buying a house, and then we get some more bad news, and you say, that's it. I can't move forward because now I'm really concerned about my employer. Well, there are outs there now. So I would encourage you to still move in.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's great advice. Now, you talked a little bit about that secondary market and the GSEs. What, last week, obviously Congress passed a huge bill. The Fed injected a lot of money into the market to kind of help that secondary market. So will that ease anything at all about mortgages being bought on the secondary market if the Fed's infusing that much cash?
Yeah, so what happened, Ryan, was that private money pretty much left the mortgage business entirely. Let me back up a little bit. About almost a month ago, mortgage interest rates were among the lowest they've been in 50 years.
Right.
And that was on like a Thursday and a Friday. That next Monday and Tuesday, because of what was happening in the world, the mortgage market just dried up. And all the private money left the mortgage market, and it left it because of what I'm saying, which is, how do you count on making a mortgage today when 20 to 30% of the nation may go unemployed, right? Yeah. So mortgage rates in a very short period of time went from the very low threes into the fours, like in a matter of days. We never see that happen, okay? Maybe in 2008 that happened to different numbers. But so the Fed came in and the Fed said, you know what? Time out. Don't worry, we're going to buy every mortgage we can for as long as we have to. And then that automatically, Ryan, brought mortgage rates back down. So now we're seeing rates again, you know, in the very low threes. So that's good news for everybody, because people that want to refinance or buy houses, mortgage rates are very low. Mm-hmm. Now, the $2 trillion, what I'll tell you is that that's just the down payment, okay? I don't think anybody out there would tell you that that's probably going to be the end of it.
Right.
And what's a scary number to think about, Ryan, is that when you add up World War II, the Vietnam War, and the Iraq War, in today's dollars, that was about $7 trillion.
Wow.
Most economists are predicting this thing is going to be 5 to 7 trillion by the time it's all said and done. And if you count what the Fed is putting into the mortgage business and other financial institutions, it's definitely going to reach 7 trillion. So you're talking about an event that is in scope the size of those three massive wars. So it puts it into perspective what, you know, the financial toll that's taking on the government. Now, a lot of it is there to help our business, to help the mortgage business, to help the real estate business. So obviously, low rates are very critical, especially today. And that money has, some of that money, not the $2 trillion, but other money has gone to do that.
Well, that's good. So what do you think in the you know, the 2 minutes we have left, what do you think we should really kind of keep an eye on over the next week or month to see any type of stabilization, if that even is a thing anymore? But what do you think we can kind of keep an eye on the mortgage market?
Well, you know, there's a battle going on right now with down payment assistance programs and bonds. Okay, so those programs are right now, they're difficult to get. So I think that, you know, if you're a first-time home buyer and you need down payment assistance, right now you probably need to call timeout. Because there's some work to be done there between mortgage servicers and the actual bond servicers as well. So it's a little complicated, right? I don't want to get into it, but there's a reasoning behind. There's right now it's all related to risk and defaults that occurs between the time that a mortgage company closes the loan and the bond company takes it over. So right now, down payment assistance programs are really problematic. Not that that may not resolve itself in the next few weeks, but I would just say that's one thing to watch over the next couple of weeks. The other thing to watch over the next couple of weeks is interest rates. The Fed money has come in, but when the Fed money came in, it also created some problems in hedging. Once again, another really complicated issue, but just know that there are some mortgage companies out there that may not be around in the next few weeks. They may, and I don't think anybody's going to necessarily go out of business. I do think that some people will suspend operations. So I think that over the next few weeks, down payment assistance programs, keep an eye on those, and keep an eye on lenders, because some that are maybe not as well capitalized or that are really struggling right now may not make it through. But like I said, I don't think anybody's going out of business, but I think they may hit the pause button.
Gotcha. Well, Aaron, that's a lot of good stuff. And I mean, who knows, maybe we can have you back on in a couple of weeks to talk about something, give us an update, or we can really dive deep into a couple of those other conversations we're having. But we certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit of your time with us.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you inviting me. And hey, if I knew that the set was going to be this professional, I probably wouldn't have worn my Padres hat.
Well, it's all good. And I was going to say, you know, that your beard actually looks well kept considering what it has been over the past few months. So I thought quarantine beard was going to be out of control with you.
It would have been out of control, but I had to take the stage at a company event about 3 weeks ago, and I was on stage, and I couldn't let my bosses see me go full blown Grizzly Gordon.
Grizzly Gordon.
I haven't shaved since that event, but it's going to come back.
Awesome. Well, good deal, Aaron. It was great seeing you, man. Stay safe and give Kim my love. And thanks again for joining us. To our audience, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank our producer Rick Manning down at Rigel Studios. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay home. We will be back next week, but until then, we'll continue to be the most resourceful people in town.